Welcome to Season 8, Episode 7 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about characteristics of truth. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." David affirmed that the entirety of God's word, the sum, not just some, is truth. This is what we should expect since the word is from God. It is impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6:18 and Titus 1:2 says. So the word of God that we find in the Bible is the truth. While it is important that we understand that the word of God is truth, it is also important that we appreciate various characteristics of truth. Certainly there are those who do not accept the Bible as truth, but of those who do, or claim that they do, many simply do not understand the nature of this truth. It is not whatever we want it to be. Truth is from the mind of God, whose ways are infinitely higher than our own. Isaiah 55:8 and 9 talks about this. So in this episode, we're going to talk about six characteristics of truth. Number one, truth is controversial. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all handed down to the saints." Why did Jude need to tell his audience to contend earnestly for the faith? It is because people will oppose the word of God, which is the source of faith, Romans 10:17. We are involved in a spiritual war, and we must be prepared for conflict when we stand for the truth. Paul told Timothy, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus," 2 Timothy 2:3. This was necessary and is still necessary because many will not endure sound doctrine and will turn away their ears from the truth, 2 Timothy 4:3 and 4. Truth is controversial, but we must accept it and defend it anyway. Number two, truth is offensive. Matthew 15:10 through 12 says that after Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" It is amazing sometimes to see how far some people will go in trying not to offend others in religious matters. Yet Jesus offended the Pharisees when he refuted their error. On another occasion, the large crowd that had been following him left because they did not want to accept his teaching, John 6, verses 60 and 66. Too many today are focused on teaching what is pleasing to their hearers. Yet Paul said, "If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ," Galatians 1:10. If we preach the gospel without compromise, many will not want to hear it. Truth is offensive to some people, but we need to proclaim it anyway. Number three, truth is divisive. Acts 23:6 and 7 says, "But perceiving that one group were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, Paul began crying out in the council, 'Brethren, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. I am on trial for the hope of the resurrection of the dead.'" And as he said this, there occurred a division between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. On this occasion, Paul was on trial before the Jewish council, and he recognized that it was made up of two groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Paul had been a Pharisee, but this was one part of his past that he counted as loss for the sake of Christ, as he told the Philippians in Philippians 3, 5, and 7. Yet on this occasion, he used the division between these two groups to his advantage and for the furtherance of the gospel. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection, while the Sadducees did not, Acts 23 and verse 8. They could not both be right. Paul preached the resurrection, not because the Pharisees believed in a resurrection, but because it was true. For every point of truth in the Word of God, some will believe and some will not believe. When people cannot agree, the result is division. Many in the religious world would prefer to ignore differences for the sake of unity. But we cannot do this and please God. Truth is divisive. But we need to hold fast to the truth anyway. Number four, truth is exclusive. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." While it is true that the way of salvation is open to everyone, the gospel was to be proclaimed to all creation, that God welcomes those from every nation. Mark 16:15, Acts 10:34 and 35. We must follow the truth that leads us to salvation. Those who do not love the truth will not be saved, 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Salvation is only in Christ, Acts 4:12. If we follow or teach another gospel, we stand to be accursed, Galatians 1:6-9. If we practice lawlessness instead of doing the will of God, we will be told to depart from the Lord, Matthew 7:21-23. Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life," John 6:68. All of these passages go to show that there is nowhere else we can turn to find the truth, and consequently to find salvation. Truth is exclusive, but we must try to bring others to a knowledge of the truth so that they can be saved. Number five, truth is universal. Mark 16:15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." As God has made salvation open to all, the gospel that is the power of God for salvation, Romans 1:16, must be proclaimed to all. The word of God is for all people, even to the remotest part of the earth, Acts 1:8, regardless of their culture, their language, their history, technology, whatever it is. God's word is for everyone. God's truth is for everyone, and we will be judged by his word, John 12:48 says. Truth is universal, so we must be willing to teach it to anyone at any opportunity that arises. And then number six, truth is constant. 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you." After stating that the sum of God's word is truth, the psalmist added, "And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting," Psalm 119:160. When God reveals his word, man has no right to change it. We are to hold fast the pattern of sound words, 2 Timothy 1:13, rather than altering that pattern. Peter said, "For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God," 1 Peter 1:23. "This word is the seed which is sown in the hearts of men that, when it is followed, leads to salvation." The seed is not going to change. Therefore, if we are going to be pleasing to the Lord, we must be content with the word as it has been revealed. Truth is constant. So we must preach the word as it was preached in the first century. In conclusion, we have seen that the truth contained in God's word is controversial, that it is offensive, it is divisive, it is exclusive, it is universal, and it is constant. Now, none of these should discourage us from teaching the truth. But we do need to recognize the challenges that will come because of these fundamental characteristics of truth so that we can prepare ourselves to teach them to others. Some people won't like what the Word of God says. Some people won't want to accept what the Word of God says. But the Word of God is for everyone, and we need to be willing to teach the truth to everyone. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we'll be talking about the connection between God's action and God's revelation. Until then, I hope you have a great week.